Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Mythstories, the pod that is shaking up the history industry. Isn't it, Kieran?
Oh, aye. It's
in the halls of... Where's, like, the most renowned university in the world for history?
Oxford and Cambridge, probably.
In the Oxbridge corridors, they daren't whisper. We're like... What do you call them in Harry Potter? Voldemort?
Voldemort, yeah.
This pod is the Voldemort of... history of sideways a sideways look at history.
I realize that I might get the lamp going here, but are you a Harry Potter fan?
I read the first few books at the time when they came out, and then the fanfare around it did my head in a bit.
Right.
And then the books got way too big, and I went, "Hey, keep them small." You know,
the Goblet of Fire was like that. Yes, and I remember
the Phoenix one.
The Phoenix one was even more. I remember seeing Goblet of Fire and going. I'll wait for the film.
I think I don't like books that are way too big to the point where I think if the Bible wasn't so big, I think I'd be a fully fledged Christian.
Yeah.
I think it would really speak to me, but I just can't read.
Try the New Testament, mate.
Don't
worry about any of that fire and brimstone shit.
Guys, this podcast, if you don't know, we look at historical subjects, some facts, some fiction. We try and separate those two things. And this episode is about Joan of Arc. Now, what do you know, Kieran, about Joan of Arc?
It's very little. French?
Yeah.
I'd
say, yeah, I didn't know that until.
Saint. Made into a saint.
Correct.
Posthumously? Yeah. They usually do that. They usually go posthumously.
No, it'd be such a buzz to be a
saint. Imagine being a living saint.
Yeah. Can I make a reservation, please? Oh, don't have any tables tonight. It's Saint Shane Todd. All right.
The miracle worker who gets a table anywhere.
I get tables anywhere.
I think I'm not sure of the time that she was alive.
Early 1400s, mate.
Right, and I know she was a great military leader and potentially.
Well, this is something that we're going to get into.
Martyred in some way.
Well, this is what we're going to get into. Obviously a lot of the stuff we have talked about and will talk about in this series, depending on when this episode comes, is. Everything has a question mark over, did it happen? This is modern for us because it's the 1400s, yeah. Like in terms of the things we're talking about being like, you know, BC. This is aggressively AD.
This is AD AF, mate. Yeah. That's what this is.
So with this, I think after I tell you the story or as much of the story as I know, and Dan can sort of keep me right on it, we will look at just, you know, it's like any story. It's any story in history. It's a great legend. It's a great story, but over time, have things been looked at with rose-tinted glasses? Mm. We will find out. Full disclosure. I thought Joan of Arc up until when I started to research this was one of the wives of Henry VIII.
Right. Okay. That's not too bad.
Right.
Are you thinking of Catherine of Aragon?
Probably.
Possibly.
Probably. Joan of Arc.
None of his wives were called Joan, which is just great.
No. Imagine, just Joan.
Yeah.
All right, love.
I know, why did none of them, why were none of them just called, you know.
Alison.
Betty.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just Alison. Imagine that.
So.
Unbelievable.
Around this, so we're talking early 1400s, when Joan of Arc was born, we'll just call her Joan for now, but when Joan was born, this was during the Hundred Years' War, but it was a sort of break in the Hundred Years' War.
Imagine that.
Hundred years.
Oh, you'd just be melted. Oh,
fuck.
No one lived through that. Like,
no.
Do you know what I mean? Just no one lived for the whole time of that.
So this was a war between France and England. Because the countries were so close, there were... And also, one thing in these episodes, you always find that everything is contested in terms of lineage and who should rule and claims to the throne. That and, like, getting to snog sexy women is responsible for everything that goes wrong throughout history.
It's like, here, I'd like to see you, but I have 10,000 guys here with bows and arrows who say, if you don't, I'm willing to come to your country and kill
I have a bow and arrow in my pants. They have them in their hands. So what's the play here? So
my army's pitching tents.
Yeah.
And so am I.
So they It's a pop-up tent. She's born during the Hundred Years' War, and she's born to a little village in France. Around this time, the throne is being contested because France are fighting England, but it's a little bit of a time of peace. There's semi-peace, but there are these historical cocks called the Burgundies, right? And they are fully FFGs. They're fully French guys, but they are aligned with the English because
fully French guys.
Yeah, pat the head of the Nepalese sorry boy. What they want to do is they want to keep the cities for places of business, and they want other rural areas to be place of agriculture. And they're interested in wool. These guys, you would love them. They probably made that knitwear. Jump, right? These guys are mental about knitwear.
Yeah.
So they're French, but they're boys with England. Yeah. So there is a contentious issue around the crown.
In France?
In France. Yeah. So Charles dies, Charles III, I think, dies, if I'm not mistaken. There's a little bit of an issue around who's next in line. All these people.
This is a problem with not fucking providing an heir, like, you know what I mean? You need to go here, it's this cunt.
Well,
you know?
There is an heir, and he's called Charles.
Right. Original.
Dauphinois, I think.
Dauphin, yeah.
The Dauphin is the prince, the heir
of the French throne.
Right, he's
Dauphinois. So Dauphinois means like the prince's potatoes.
Really?
Dauphinois, yeah.
Oh, nice. Do you like Dauphinois?
I like it.
It was a yes or no.
I know, but I do like it, yes, but I don't like to make it. Right. I like it to be, it's a fucking palaver. I like it to be made for me.
Right, okay. And so did he.
Yeah, right.
So
yeah.
There's talk that Charles might be illegitimate. His ma, like, basically disowns him. He's sent away. He establishes his own little place in the Bourgeois. In Bourgeois. Is this right? No, Dan doesn't.
I'm not sure.
Okay. Anyway.
Is this the mad Charles?
No, the mad Charles was his da.
Okay, so he's still about at the start.
Charles
of this
the
story.
Mad.
The mad Charles, who thinks he's made of glass and doesn't let anybody touch him and doesn't like to sit down or lie down because he thinks he'll shatter.
What a mad cunt. I have never heard of that in my life. They made a movie, didn't they, about a guy like that? What do you call him? Samuel L. Jackson played him.
That's not based on the French King Charles.
What's that? I know, but what's that called?
Unbreakable.
Unbreakable,
and then,
yeah.
Glass is the follow-up, is it? There's like a trilogy.
Things come full circle. Guess where I saw that film? On a school trip to France.
Mad.
Wait. So, yeah.
This guy thought he was going to shatter and break.
Charles the Mad. Psychosis.
That's a great name for him, to be fair.
Yeah.
Charles, you know, shortened from Charles the Mad Glass Cunt.
Yeah.
That's absolutely mental.
Yeah.
I've never heard that in my life.
Because people back then had diseases and things that just were... Do you know what would have sorted that out? Antibiotics.
Yeah.
He couldn't get antibiotics, otherwise he'd be just Charles.
He'd a rough flu, and the next thing he's like, my wee man's made of porcelain.
If he had antibiotics, a week after this, he'd be going, remember I thought I was made of glass? Fuck's sake, I may go back to King stuff. So he was Charles the Mad. Anyway, there's civil unrest in France. There's different factions, there's different households that think they have a claim. Young Charles, the son, goes away. He see you later. He goes to
this other place.
Bourgeois. He's away. Don't worry about him. Joan is growing up at this time in a village as far away from like Paris or royalty as you can imagine. She's a peasant. Her dad is a farmer and an official in the town or the village, and her ma's teaching her everything about. Back then, what they consider what a woman should do. So she's learning cleaning. She's spinning wool. That is supposed to be her life. That's a life they're telling her. This is what you're gonna have, right? But
there's nothing wrong with cleaning and spinning wool.
Absolutely,
clean the house.
But Joan thinks that too. But then cleaning. She's me too. She starts to think.
Well, do you ever like sit quietly when the cleaning's happening? Just let it happen.
No, I clean.
I do a bit, but sometimes I just go.
Do you know what I imagine you do?
Write scripts.
You sit with a motorized feather duster that extends
to every part of the room. 40 feet. Every part of the room.
Yes. And you're doing nothing. You know what I mean? Like it's not working.
I'd be more of the chef in our house, right. You know.
Jones Industrious.
Right, sorry.
Okay. Jones Industrious. But she starts to think that she's being spoken to.
That's the problem right there. See once you start thinking. It's over. Did you say spoken to by God?
By God, yeah. Saint Michael.
Through Saint Michael, Saint Catherine, Saint Margaret.
Saint Michael, Saint Catherine, Saint Margaret.
Each of these are as mental as the other. I'm saying like
she
like what, like statues or like
No. She believes they come to her and they're speaking directly to her. And what they say to her is this. They give her a prophecy. Also, do you know who else is running about knocking out prophecies at this time? I don't know where this episode's going to come in the series. Our boy Merlin.
Oh, wow, right. I thought he was before this.
No. Dan, you're looking at me like you doubt me. Don't doubt me when it comes to Joan of Arc. Is it not like
500 years before or something?
I mean, it won't be the same Merlin, unless he's just been asleep for 500 years. But
yeah.
That's the thing about Merlin.
He can do what he wants.
Look up Joan of Arc Merlin, okay, because there is a link. But a prophecy she hears is, and she's telling nobody about this, right? A prophecy she hears is that it's something to the extent of a woman is going to, like, wreck France, like, be the downfall of France. But France will be saved by a virgin from the borders of Rennes. I think so. A woman's gonna fuck it. A woman's gonna save it. And as these visions go on, Joan is told, you need to lead France and you need to make sure that Charles, I think it's Charles IV, this son who is away, you need to make sure that he becomes the king. Right. You need to be responsible for his coronation. That's what you need to do.
Do you know what interests me about this type of thing? Is this happening to people now? Like, is Charles the sausage, is he becoming, like, is he also being led by visions, you know? Like, who in power today would ever get away with going, I mean, unless you were, like, in the American Bible Belt or something, how would you ever get away with going, here, St. Michael's in my head.
Yeah.
And do you know what he's telling me?
Yeah.
To follow this deeply political path.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Like, vision. Like, that was a big thing of like, back in the day, visions. It was seen as, like, oh, whoa, like, visions. And nowadays, you'd be
sectioned.
But nowadays, yeah. You know what you do nowadays? Press get off the bus early. That's what you do nowadays. So, Dan, is there a link between Merlin and Joan of Arc?
It looks like it's Geoffrey of Monmouth who wrote one of the early Arthur books.
Right. So, the real life Merlin. The real life dick shaker in the forest.
He talks of a maid who would come to do some great.
She's the maid. Adventure, she was known as the maid of Orlans, or like Orleans.
La Purcelle, I think, is what she was known as.
No.
La Purcelle?
La Purcelle. I think it means maid or virgin. Right.
The maiden.
Purcell.
The maiden of France. So.
Purcell.
That's
like the wash. I wonder if that means. I wonder if that's where it comes from.
Because it's pure and clean.
I know, but it might be like different and white. Different spelling, but like the same.
Anyway.
Do you know what I mean?
She hears these visions.
Cleaning powder.
She hears these visions. She realises this is like her destiny to lead France, to see that Charles is on the throne and that kind of thing. In the meantime, England are really trying to get into, like, they're in France, but they're basically, like, they're getting on the throne.
Right.
Right,
getting into France.
Huh?
England's getting into France.
Yep. What am I missing there?
Just like, you know, like, Charles is getting into Camilla. Do you know what
I mean?
Oh,
right, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, they're sliding into...
Twank's sliding getting into the subway. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. So England, because of, like, a marriage, England has a claim to the throne of France too.
Right.
And that kind of thing. So, anyway...
I'd love to claim a throne.
There's civil unrest.
Right.
I'm just picturing you on, like, you know, the Game of Thrones throne.
Yeah.
But it's just like a giant toilet.
Do you know what? Do you know, I've always wanted to have one of those thrones that's like, you know, like a skull throne, like a skull, like a throne made of the skulls of my eviscerated enemies.
Have you ever been on a Japanese toilet?
No.
Just think about it. Wild. Change your life.
Why? What are their toilets like?
The full buttons on the side. Do a lot of functions.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Sorry, Emperor Vespavius. So... Joan goes to a garrison in her like nearby where she lives, and she
Garrison Ford.
Nice.
Nice.
Nice. She says to the guy there, she says, listen. She says, listen, give me safe passage, and I need to basically like go through enemy territory. And I need to talk about these prophecies, and I need to let people know what I'm all about. And the guy goes, nah, who are you? You're a peasant.
Spoof, spoof.
Yeah. He goes, you're a peasant. Get out of here. And she goes, I know what's going to happen. She goes, there's going to be a problem here. And she forecasts like a real ominous defeat for the French army. Then it happens. Then she goes back. She goes, I hate to say I told you so.
I was going to say, does she literally lift the guitar and go, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Hate to say I told you so.
I've never heard that song.
The Hives. I was literally massive. That's right in your wheelhouse as well.
They have a more well-known song than that.
No, that is their song. Like, that is their big hit. Like,
never seen Dan look more serious about anything in his life. Anyway, Joan of Arc ends up, Joan... At this time, words getting about that she is hearing these voices, that she believes she has this divine purpose from God. So words spreading about that. And people are like, she's really serious. This young peasant girl is really serious about this. And they're worried that she's like a heretic. Is that the right word?
Heretic, yeah.
Heretic, or which is someone who like hears voices.
No, like somebody who's against the church.
Right. They're worried she's that or a witch. But she's charming everyone she speaks to. She has so much conviction that people are like, there's something about her. So after her prediction, if I'm right on this, she is allowed passage and she is allowed to go and meet young Charles.
Mm-hmm.
So she goes, it's a 300-mile journey. And when she...
That's a lot like back then.
Is a nightmare, isn't it? Yeah,
that's not like driving to Cork now. That's like fucking...
Yeah, you can't go to Kildare. I doubt she went to Kildare Village en route.
I mean, I know this. I know that in ancient Greece, they would say Kildare Village. I just heard that.
Didn't hear it at the time.
She probably would have enjoyed going into Lochatan down there.
Friend, there's something about Kildare Village that I go, this is me.
Yeah.
You know? But go ahead.
It is for you.
And I need to stock up in potpourri.
In ancient Greece, I think they said they thought people could vaguely sort of travel about 8 to 10 miles a day. So, like, I mean, if you say even it's 10 to 12, maybe 15 if they're on a horse in this time.
Unhelpfully, I don't know when she left, but I know she got there in March.
That's a long...
If that tells you anything.
Like, if you can... When did she leave?
I have no idea.
He does know.
Because if you can do 15 miles a day,
yeah.
300 miles is 20 fucking days. Like, it's 3 weeks on the road. In a time when you're not stopping on Holiday Inns. Like,
No.
You know what I mean?
Well, we can't say for sure, but we
I would doubt there was a Holiday Inn.
It was the Vacan Inn.
The what?
That's French for holiday.
Is it?
Yeah. Pour des vacances l'année dernière, je visitais Paris en français.
Je visite. That was enjoyable.
Avec ma copains.
With your...
Copains.
Parents?
No, copains.
Copains? I've never heard parents. Of it. I thought Amie was friends.
Copains is friends, isn't it?
Yeah.
Je jouais de foot. You play football?
Avec ma copains.
With your friends.
Très bien.
It's very good.
Oui.
Yes.
So she meets Charles, right? He likes the cut of her jib. He likes what she's saying. He likes.
Of course he does. She's coming and going, St. Michael says you're going to be king, and here, St. Margaret agrees, and here is the other one. Can't remember, St. Catherine.
But
who'd you say?
I think he's maybe been burnt before, because what he says is, I think you're dead on, but they think you're mental. So they're going to take you to meet these theologists, all these learned scholars, and they're going to like cross-examine you.
I would have been one of those guys.
Oh, you just sit. You sit.
I'd be
back
sitting there, my wee French, my wee lignit.
With a wee plate of olives. Wee plate of olives. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Wee plate of olives, wee plate of grapes,
yeah.
Wee book.
Yeah.
You know, wee paintings and all.
She walks in, you're just like this. No. So she had to talk. They were asking her about these messages from God, and they were asking her about her faith in general, and they wanted to find out how serious she was, and the consensus came back that she's serious. Like, she knows what she's talking about.
Legit.
She's legit.
Yeah.
So she said to Charles, like, listen, I you're going to be king, mate. So what we need to do is, we need to, something to point out, sorry, the first time, when she leaves, they give her, on this sort of trip, they start telling her about military tactics.
Right.
She's almost being coached. And she says to these boys, listen, I want to hit the battlefield. You know, they say to her, great, you know, you can speak to Charles, you can hang out. You can hang out. And she goes, I don't want to hang out. I want to fuck people up.
I want to wage war.
She goes, yeah. I'm going to be there on the battlefield. And they say, well, we're not too sure about this. War is waged, right? War. This is a part I'm maybe a little bit unclear on, but basically, Charles and the boys, they start to battle.
Mm-hmm.
There's a civil war going on as well as the English trying to invade. So you've got the Burgundians on one side and the Armagnacs on the other side.
Yes. What a nightmare.
Yes.
So yep. The English are sort of, the Burgundians link up with the English. So it's Henry, around the time of Agincourt, and the English have taken Normandy and stuff like that.
Imagine like you were just trying to run a fucking chippy or something at that time.
I know.
Do you know what I mean? You're just trying to, imagine you were just a normal,
yeah.
Do you know what I'm passionate about? Dauphin was.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're trying to run a wee Dauphinoise takeaway van.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like fucking, oh, here, I was serving the Burgundians yesterday, now it's Almanacs, here tomorrow it's fucking English.
Yeah.
It's a nightmare.
So,
because you know the English, when they come over, they're only going to want to eat fucking ham, egg and chips.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to change the menu.
Yeah. And call it like, oh, the Red Lion, you know.
Yeah, yeah. You're going to have to change. Yeah, yeah.
Them and all that.
Fuck's sake.
So, yes, the first time, she basically convinces everyone to let her be on the battlefield. She's like, this is God's will, mate.
I think they don't completely believe or disbelieve her, the theologians at this point. So they're like, well, let's let her go and do something if she's sent by God.
That you're absolutely right. They send her to
Orléans.
Right?
The Siege of Orléans.
And you're right, because the attitude is, if she dies, she was wrong.
I know. See, you know what I mean? See, it's a great call. The theologians get together and go, here, fucking send her into this shit. If she dies, she was a witch. Exactly. You know what I mean? And if she fucking lives,
yep.
Well, here then we send her. Oh,
she goes on.
Beth Hedging bastards. That's what they are. BHBs.
She goes on to the battlefield. Now, you think that the soldiers are going to, you know, all male, obviously, are going to maybe you're thinking, are they going to feel undermined? Are they going to think this is like going to make, are they going to be all scundered in front of the English and the Burgundies? Not a bit. They love it. They really like her. And this is, because so much of this is fact, here's where we start to look at the myth. Was she a mascot? Almost. Was she there, you know, G-ing them up, you know? Was she like, let's go, boys, we can do, you know?
Yeah.
When I say,
man.
Huh?
A hype man.
Was she a hype man?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Was she just there to, like, be a mascot, be present?
Lil Jean, you know? I only found out who Lil Jean was yesterday.
We did an episode. Yeah. Pat the head of the Nepalese soy boy.
Thanks.
Get low. So, she or was she leading the charge? That's something that, you know, when you see artists' depictions of her and things like that, she's like the warrior queen. She's at the front. Was that the case, or was she like hanging back, there for more sort of moral support. I don't know, but I do think to leave home at such a young age, to be so determined to...
Now, what age are we talking? She is here at this time.
Well, she left home as a teenager.
She's a teenager.
Jeez. Yeah. Right.
That's part of the reason why she had to convince people so much to take her seriously.
Right,
she's
okay.
A kid, like, she's a peasant kid.
Greta Thunberg.
I was thinking this.
Greta Thunberg.
Because she became like a celeb in those times to the peasants. She was like a hero to them, and she started to do other people's work for them and be a figurehead for these people. So medieval Greta.
Yeah, medieval Thunberg.
Yep.
MT.
Shut up. So I don't know, but she is on the battlefield, right? And you're maybe going, yeah, but is she getting involved? She gets wounded, mate.
Oh, shit, right.
She gets wounded. Arrow on the shoulder. And you're going, well, I'll be her done.
That'll hurt like fuck and all.
What happens the next day? First one to clock onto the battlefield.
Oh,
there,
mate.
She is.
Clocking on. Love it.
She is involved.
Yeah.
She's there. Whether she's fighting or not, she's wounded, still shows up to the battlefield. The troops are absolutely loving it. It gets in the head of the English. They don't like this.
What do you think would hurt more, right? An arrow?
Yeah.
Coming down out of the sky into your fucking shoulder, which is serious.
Yeah.
Or the punch that Throne McKenna gave me.
Genuinely the punch.
I think it might be the punch.
The arrow's more... The punch is... Oh, it's more deep. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, she does really well on the battlefield. And she's respected. There's a blank that I can't fill in here, but they win more battles. And she gets more seriously. She gets she also gets a crossbow to the thigh.
Yeah.
But do you know what that's like? Getting a fucking... Do you ever get hit in the thigh with like a miter ball on a cold day? You know, the old rubber balls?
That's what they were doing.
I know, yeah. The miter's...
This guy's toe poking it.
Just...
From Dover,
yeah,
over to Calais.
Just toe poker. Unbelievable, like toe poker in the thigh. Oh, so grim.
So look, there's more, there's more in between, but basically...
Do you know that that's where the phrase bull from the blue comes from?
An arrow from the sea?
A crossbow bolt from the sky.
Oh, from the sky.
Yeah, just like, oh, here, fucking crossbow bolt, like, just hits you out of the blue, like.
Yeah.
It's good knowledge.
Charles becomes king of France.
Right.
And
she's beside him for the...
What's
coronation.
Are they're on the... They're this... What was the name you said?
Almanac.
Almanac.
They're like... France is for the French, you know?
Right.
Against the English.
Right.
The people love this. Joan has really helped him. Right? He's sort of riding the coattails of that. You know, it's like...
Yeah.
You know when like a politician... is like, I'm mates with this celebrity.
Yeah,
remember
yeah.
when Tony Blair did headers, keep you? I remember seeing him on Blue Peter once, did headers with Kevin Keegan.
Yeah, and then
it's like that.
There was a time...
He did headers with Joan.
Recently, Ian Paisley Jr. was chilling with Gene Simmons from Kiss.
And William Thompson.
What?
Ian Paisley Jr. and William Thompson.
Oh, sorry, yeah, that's correct. I was going, was William Thompson at that event with Gene Simmons?
But yeah, it's like a, you know, mutually beneficial for both. And I think, you know, I'm so grateful to her and that kind of thing. At this point, what Charles wants is peace, right? He wants peace across everywhere. He's like, let's get back to focusing on prosperity and that kind of thing. We'll make peace with the English. They'll go back to England. We'll stay in France. It's all good. What's Joan saying?
Kill them all.
You've no balls, mate.
Oh,
and he goes, I do. She goes, we need to like attack Paris. Because at that point, Paris is being held by the English. And he's going, nah, 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 we'll sort out a bit of peace. And she's going, bark, bark,
bark, bark, bark, bark. You've no Le Cui, the balls.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And he's going, I do. And she goes, nah, nah, you don't. She's mugging him off.
Le Buck Buck.
She starts to become a little bit of a thorn in his side. Because probably she's more popular than he is.
That's a problem then.
You know?
Become more popular than somebody that has the title, like,
so
bit of a problem. It's like when Roy Keane was getting to be more popular than Fergie.
Yeah,
you know,
it's exactly the same.
It's Roy Keane.
It's the first example of that.
Roy of Arc. No.
No.
Keane of Arc. No.
No. So,
Joan of Cork.
Karen, shut up. So he eventually does actually hit Paris, but like Joan.
So he said that as if like he arrives,
like me hitting Kildare Village.
He arrives with lads all stepping out of a Humvee, like, you know.
So what he does, sorry, after he gets, this is important as well. Once he gets to the throne, he basically, like, he tries to, like, say to her, like, you head on. Because what he does is he gives her and her family, like, noble status. Noble status. And he grants tax-free status to her, everyone in her village. So he's basically like, here.
That's class.
Golden handshake. He goes, you've sorted me out. I sort you out. What time are you heading on at? And she's like, I'm not. And he's gutted by this.
They've stopped for a selfie and he's going, right, I have to.
Yeah.
Do stuff now. Yeah. And everyone, she's going.
He goes, how long's it going to take you to get home and all? So, there's your little bell, right? Dan, she gets captured by the bad French people. And then
she goes out without almost permission and starts getting involved in
scraps
again. Oh. And the Burgundians capture her.
Foolish.
And they give her to the English.
They sell her to the English.
Sell her to the English.
I'd be like selling Greta Thunberg to like a load of industrialists.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Trump.
Yeah, just selling her to Trump. Yeah. Great from Dan. There we go.
So she, the
Nepalese soy boy.
The Nepalese soy boy's getting his head patted rightly here.
He loves it.
So Dan, while I tell Kieran this, can you just tell me like what age she would have been at this point? She's kept in a tower by the English, in part of France that they control, I think. And
she's like 19.
She's about 19, still a kid, and she's kept in a tower for months, under the threat of molestation. But a key thing to point out.
Sorry, that's a key thing there.
That's
a threat and a half.
Oh yeah,
you'll sit in a tower or you'll get molested.
Yeah,
that's a nightmare.
To the point where at one point she throws herself out. She's so dogged and determined, and she will, like, no one will tell her. No one will put Joan in the corner. No one will put Bebe in the corner, in the corner. So she at one point just fucks herself out of the window of it.
Rapunzels survives. Oh my god.
This is a key thing to bring in, but I'm going to bring it in now. Right, I'm like a Tarantino film. Sometimes I just do what I want.
Yeah, yeah.
The first time she
made...
It's
very French, to be fair.
The first time she made her voyage through enemy territory, she had to wear men's clothes. So her village ended up giving her like men's clothes and a horse and things like that. So that's how she had to travel. She wore men's clothes. And when she got there, she'd do like a Stars in Your Eyes.
Right,
she'd be like, hold on 1 second, comes out in a cocktail dress.
She's not getting cold.
Right.
Yeah.
So when she's taken by the English, they eventually have a trial. And she is being tried for two things. Number one is being a heretic.
Right.
Right. So, you know, they're saying she's being spoken to by God, but they don't believe that and that kind of thing. She is also on trial and one of the most serious crimes of the time for cross-dressing.
Oh my.
It says in the book of, I'm not sure, but a book in the Bible, don't be doing that.
Really? So,
yeah.
Really?
So,
I think so.
I must have missed that in my wee skim of the...
Is this going to change the way now you live your life?
No more me wearing Chloe's socks. You know what I mean? I have wee feet. You know,
that's not what you're wearing. So she's on trial, and the whole way through this trial, by the way, it's one of those things that I think there was a thing of
Deuteronomy,
the book of
it's
Deuteronomy.
In Deuteronomy. Wow. Yeah. Now you're going back there. Like, I mean,
most of the Bible is back.
That's the fifth book of the Bible. Is that right? Like, that's old as shit.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
A woman shall not wear a man's garments, nor shall a man put on woman's cloak. For whoever does these things is an abomination to the Lord your God.
Hey, try telling that to Harry Styles.
Get mate.
If Harry Styles was running about back in those days, he'd be...
I'll say this, David Beckham in the sarong.
Beckham in the sarong again.
Great. Abomination. Doubtful. So I don't buy that. That's mental. Deuteronomy.
Apparently so.
That's old though. That is literally that's like one of the oldest fucking books alive, like around. Like
this. Sorry. This is. I know we've got Historical Bad Bastard. We've got another HBB. This trial is why Joan of Arc was the HBB Historical Bad Bitch.
Oh, because love that.
They're basically saying they're what we would have done. Right, here's the difference between us and Joan of Arc.
So a HBB is Historical Bad Bastard,
yeah.
But a HBB, right? Yeah. Sorry. And that's what you have to say. It.
Yeah. So what she could do at this point is probably bend the knee, right? Because she is a celebrity of the time, and probably if, you know, she's out there, if they were able to get footage of her being like, "Oh, I'm so sorry," and all, and like use her class and I don't know why I was fighting against you, it's like, "All hail England.
God doesn't talk to me, England's class."
They might let her away with it. And what we would have done in those times is gone, whatever you want. Like, no worries, whatever you need.
Please don't take my 19-year-old head off my shoulders.
Yeah. What's Joan going to do?
Double down.
Double down.
HDD. Historical double down.
She's having, like, she's showing wit, composure. She's being like, nah, God is talking to me, boys. And they're sort of charmed by her. But also, as well as being charmed by her, they condemn her to death.
Yeah, it's like going, she's good crack and all, like, but I wouldn't see her again. Yeah. I wouldn't see her again.
So what they do is they decide not only they're going to put her to death, she's going to be burnt three times. Her body's going to be burnt three times, turned into ash.
Can we talk about how she gets caught out with the theologians?
Right. Yes. I don't know about this.
By the way, the burn her three times, turn her into ash, you're like, okay, Sly, and then throw her into the river scene.
Sam. Hold on a wee second, though.
So hang on, let's go back a little bit.
Surely the third burning is needless. Go ahead.
The second is needless. Yeah.
Originally, they brought like 70 clauses against her of heresy. But they end up going down to 12. And the main reasons is because she talks about being spoken to by these saints. And what she gets caught out on is she describes what the saints look like in her visions. And apparently they don't have a physical form since when they speak to people in visions. So they're like, nah, you're bullshitting because you know she's got dark hair or he looks
How much would you love to be the theologian that catches her out?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Mate, being the wee Joan trapper, that's me. Just going here, and what does St. Michael look like?
Hey, right, hold on. Let's role play it, okay? Right, okay. I'll be Joan.
Right, okay.
Okay. Who was probably wearing a Sweden home shirt at the time, right? She says, you asked me that question again.
And what does St. Michael look like?
Well, he had a beard, he had like a big black beard and very dark hair that was sort of pushed back. He was tall, he was about 6'5".
Was he?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's very interesting.
Yeah. That's just
and then I look at one of the other theologians like this. It's interesting to me that you say he has physical form when we know that he doesn't. He isn't even a he is merely saint. Oh, mate, Sir Michael don't have no dick.
Au revoir. Which is weird because you're English.
To the burn pit. Crank her
ice to the burn pit.
Thrice to the burn pit. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. That's mad. Three burnings is excessive, isn't it?
But here's the thing. You said you guys would bend the knee at that point.
Yeah.
She did recant.
Oh.
She was like, okay, I take it back. I didn't see the saints. I was lying and all this. And they're like, great. We're going to imprison you for life. But your family, they'll be good. We'll look after them. Just stay out of the way. The next week, she goes back to wearing men's clothes and talking about the saints. So they're like, fuck you.
Fuck you. imagine one of the other theologians was from Belfast. And he comes in, he's in the DUP, he's raging. She's doing it again. She's wearing fucking Adidas. She's dressed up like a builder out of the Village People. She comes in and goes, I was chatting to St. Margaret earlier. Fuck you! Getting that fucking fire, you cult.
Imagine just having a real addiction for talking to the saint. Like, all you have to do to live, don't say you've been talking to the saint.
I don't hear, still talk to him if that's what you want to do. Yeah. Just go tell him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, man.
Just having a wee natter with St. Mick.
But, yeah, she reneged, like, that kind of thing. But then she just went back to just being, like, she couldn't live the lie.
She couldn't live the lie.
She's like, do you know what? No. I am.
This would be like getting Greta Thunberg to say, here, global warming's a load of bollocks.
Kill the turtles.
And then within a week, she's back being like, you took my childhood. Yeah. You just go, here, get in the fire.
River Song. What was the river called?
Seine.
River Seine.
Yeah.
I imagine, do you know what you would do? If you were one of the theologians condemning her to death, you would say, at the adjournment of a case, you'd say, at the sentencing, you go, we're sending you back by the river. You will be a paste. You know, you'd like.
You will be a paste?
You'll be a paste. You'd let her think she's just going home by the river.
Oh, yeah, you know what I mean? No, yeah, I like things like that, because this is like, I was thinking about this earlier when we were talking about the, send her, you know, she will go to war.
Yeah.
If she comes back.
Yeah.
You know, something like, she will go to war and we win either way, right? Yeah. But like, there was a famous one where some king asked the Oracle at Delphi, like, you know, what, like, on the eve of a battle, like, give me a prophecy of this battle. And she said, there will be a great defeat for a great nation.
Right.
And he was like, fucking right, I'm going to destroy these cons, but it was his own nation. She wins either way. Didn't read the Oracle. Small print.
So, 25 years later, her ma.
Post burning.
Yep. Never gave up on trying to fight for her to be, what do you call it? Not pardon. What do you call when someone posthumous? Like you clear a name.
Aye, pardoned.
Yeah, she said, I'm gonna clear my daughter's name, and 25 years later, she receives a pardon, gets a sainthood.
That's mental, because it's sort of.
I'm not sure she gets a sainthood. Did she get a sainthood at that time? She becomes known as a martyr of France.
Right.
I'm not sure when the sainthood comes in, but yeah, she's.
Do you know what's mad though is like. Getting pardoned 25 years after treble burning river death sort of means nothing to your body, doesn't it?
No. That because the
I would. Do you know what? See, at that point, I would actually rather take the conviction.
Yeah.
See, if I ever am convicted of something that I didn't do and I'm literally like burnt three times over it, all these witnesses, let me keep that conviction.
Right, yeah.
Don't let them pardon me.
Right.
Don't give them the satisfaction of going, sorry.
Yeah. He, the day that she posthumously received that pardon is now her feast day.
Right, okay.
That day of the year.
See, what's interesting to me as well, though, is that some of the, like I really didn't know. I don't know a lot about her.
Same.
Other than she was made into like a saint, and that she was a military woman. But like the hagiography of sainthood and how you actually become a saint is mad. So like
two forms of ID, utility bill.
Your internet browsing history, you know, three bank statements. I wonder, you see what goes in and out of that and how much of this is the sort of real stuff, you know.
Yeah, well, let's talk about
the what were the miracles that she thought they have performed? Like the military victories and stuff?
Probably prophecies.
It was more prophecies than miracles.
Interesting that the church made her a saint, even though Deuteronomy says this cross-dressing is not on. That's interesting.
I think then it was argued, or Matt was like, but some of this is unisex, you know? It was maybe clothes from like Zara or something.
Also, you know, very French. Fluid, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Her haircut became very fashionable in the early 20th century, too.
Was that the short?
The bob?
Yeah.
She was doing this with a bob?
The original bob.
Le bob.
That's like.
An Ingrid Bergman player. Sorry.
No, I was going to say, like, that is the haircut that, like, you know. When you see, like, back in those days, you see a lady on the battlefield and she's got a bob.
And she's cutting through boys with a sword.
Probably wearing the original power suit.
Yeah, you'd be going, who's this? HBB? Who's this?
Yep.
Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Imagine actually, she's, like, imagine in the middle of Braveheart, because that's kind of, what, near the same time?
No, it was like Braveheart's early 90s.
Maybe older.
Or 1990. 1993.
But I mean, like, imagine like those battles in Braveheart, and like somebody's in the middle of it, killing it, like, with a bob.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Just
a pencil skirt.
The least she's doing is just encouraging the boys.
Yeah.
And even that's mental. Do that from a distance.
Yeah.
You know,
don't be close enough to
I'd be on the brow of a hill. Nice one, lads.
Yeah.
Oh, shit one, you got impaled.
Yeah,
you
know. I'm gonna be out of the striking distance of arrows and bolts, like, you know.
But one of history's most determined, strongest, pioneering figures. So I think the myths might come from the involvement on the battlefield, but there was record of her being, like, wounded, so even being on the battlefield is, like, wild.
I'm surprised that when she was in France and after the battles were over, and maybe when the English had her, that they didn't just, like, try and give her, like, a glow-up. You know what I mean? Just, like,
What do you mean, like...
You know, just go
look
here,
at the bob and go this...
You know, let's do extensions.
Right.
We'll stick you in. Like, do you remember the show Jenny Jones? That talk show? Remember it went off the air when one of the guests shotgunned one of the other ones? It was like an American talk show. And they used to do, like, makeovers.
Right, right.
It was like a Ricky Lake style
heavy makeover. Okay, yes,
there was like, you're too fat to be all that. That was one. So, like, stop. They would bring on, like, people like double me with, like, who were, like, dressing sexy. Yeah. And they'd be like,
Kieran,
they'd be like, get yourself into your sheet, you cunt. Right?
Have you just been on that show?
Today's ensemble is quite something. But like, I'm surprised that the English didn't go, here, let's rework this bob.
Yeah.
Let's get you out of these, you know, men's armour.
Yeah.
And get you into a nice wee penny.
Yeah. You're wearing a Cliftonville top and baggy jeans.
Yeah.
You know.
Let's get you into one of these Bayou Tapestry style fucking,
yeah,
like a wee, I know they have miniskirts or whatever, but get yourself into something, maybe show a wee bit of, there's no way they were shaving it, show a wee bit of bush, you know?
Wee bit of kit.
Wee bit of, yeah.
But if we've established one thing.
Jones, like, the only hill I'm going to be running up is fucking stab boys. Look.
But there's no talking to Joan of Arc. Joan of Arc does what she wants.
Do you know who talks to her? Fuck. Saints, and that's it.
Yep. All saints. Pure source.
So she got martyred and then beatified and whatever. And
yeah, what does beatified mean?
Beatified is you become blessed, which is like that's like the a stage of becoming a saint. So you become the blessed Joan of Arc.
So she became beatified in 1909 and canonized
late.
16th of May 1920.
Right. So here's a wee thing I happen to know about the Vatican and the saint making process. Do you know it costs quite a lot of money to become a saint? Like about $100,000.
But surely you don't pay it when no one comes see it when they're alive, do they?
No, but it's like it costs all this money because the Vatican, it can cost up to $500,000.
You need to update all the windows.
And here's, well, this is the thing. See if you want to be like a recent saint, like a died in the 90s saint today.
Yeah.
Like it's maybe going to cost like about $1 million, like to make that happen.
Mother Teresa must have paid.
Mother Teresa. So money goes in from causes that represent the saint. Money then is spent, like charitable funds are spent on like researchers and hagiography, which is like the compiling of a saint's life.
Right.
And then you have to pay the devil's advocate who asks
Pacino?
Questions. What?
Pacino.
Pacino. Pacino comes in and goes, hoo-ah!
Hoo-ah! Don't know why Tom Jones is with him.
You know, somebody comes in with, like, you know, a load of fucking files about a saint, and Pacino's just like, give me all you got!
Yeah.
So, I went for Irish at the end of that, but anyway, I'm not as good as Pacino. But anyway, Shane's waiting on the light.
I'm waiting, honestly,
how much would it cost for a living person to become a saint? Like, if we set up a 10 mil, if we got all the patrons together, could we
send
Kieran of Bartlett?
Do you know what? He's the only person I know that would accept it.
Oh,
you would.
Elon Musk would take it. He would love that.
Even Elon Musk would go, it's too much. Whereas you would be straight up there, I don't deserve it.
Elon Musk, it's not for me to say if I deserve it. That's for you to say, Holy Father. No.
Don't call me that.
What I would say about my sainthood would be Elon Musk may have revolutionized, you know, communications. Automotive transport, whatever, economics. Has he ever been able to get a laugh out of a fucking tough gig in Cromwell?
No.
You want to talk about miracles?
No. Not even a titter.
You want to talk about miracles, mate? I did an hour in Crumlin and then drove to the Devonish where I murdered. Do you know what I mean? I was like bilocating two gigs one night.
Yep.
These are all the things that make a saint.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I've healed people with laughter.
Can somebody please mock up a window of St. Kieran Bartlett?
But please show me being burnt somewhere, you know.
Please, please, let's get a t-shirt. Let's get some merch for this exclusive limited series that's Saint Kieran Bartlett.
A load of wee Kieran faces on rotisserie chickens going around where I'm being thrice cooked, you know.
Thrice, what was the, what did we say?
Thrice to the burn pit.
Thrice to the burn pit.
There's a t-shirt. Did you just say that?
I really enjoyed researching Joan of Arc.
This has been brilliant because I didn't really know too much about her.
Yeah. Complete legend.
What do we think then? About, are we going on the visions or are we going on...
Hit or myth? I'm going to say...
On the visions and then on her prowess in battle, what was her role? Because some people would argue that she was just a figurehead used like Greta.
Mm. No, and I'm going to say hit because I think they'd have been happy with that and they got her there and went, you hang back, and she went, give me a fucking javelin. Right? Give me a catapult.
I did read a thing where one of the first battles she went to, they were like, well, what are you doing? She's like, attack.
Yeah.
And that was it.
All right, okay, that's good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, what's the strategy? She's like, kill them, boys.
So, Mitch, it is sort of like United.
Yeah.
It's like, what's the strategy? United. Win.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, Joan time at the end. Like, this battle should have been over. Like, now there's 8 more years.
Solskjaer's fucking sliding in at the end. Fucking booting, boys. I just... I'm going to say mostly hit here because if she was close enough to be taking arrow and especially crossbow fire, she's in the mix.
Correct.
So I would say if you're in harm's way, you're you know what I mean? You're not just a mascot. Like a crossbow bolt, they don't go that far. Arrows can go fucking.
But just because you're in the battle doesn't mean you're directing and making tactical.
She might not
decisions.
Doesn't matter, but she's in the shit. She's in the shit. Yep. So I have respect for anybody that goes.
Do you know what she's like? A manager in B&M Bargains who, when it gets busy around Christmas time, jumps on the tills.
That's what she is. Yep.
She could stay in the back. She could stay in the stock room, delegating. Nah, she's jumping on the till.
Yep. She's I like that. I really like that. That's a great analogy. And then. Regarding the visions, it almost doesn't matter. I mean, we won't know if she really had them. Yeah. She might have had a bit of fucking bad chicken one time and then had visions. Do you know what I mean? Or she might have been being contacted by God via St. Michael. We don't know. Well, we never will know. Well, you don't know. You don't think God contacts people? Don't think he ever looks at the old iPhone and goes, I haven't spoken to him.
I think he ghosts people mainly.
Yeah, he ghosts me quite a lot, to be fair. That's a lie, I'm very blessed.
Holy ghosted by God?
It's not for me to say whether he contacts me. I just know that when I speak, I know there's an ear listening, Shane. So I'm mostly going to say hit on this one.
Like, well, okay, there we go. We're both saying hit. We're pretty unanimous in this one. Who knows what we'll be talking about next time on Mysteries. That was our episode on Joan of Arc. I hope people are enjoying this series. Kieran Littler looks good today. I like it. We're both wearing shorts.
Thanks. A lot of leg today.
We're two MSBs.
Here's one last question for today's episode. And tell the truth, but try not to hurt my feelings, so be careful in the way you answer it. Are my legs thinner than you thought they would be?
Yes.
But they're not thin. But they're thinner.
Well, no, I actually thought them might be kind of thin because, like, your legs, like, when you're, like, your legs are, like,
They're constantly at work.
They're doing a lot of work.
Yeah.
So, like...
But sometimes you see big boys and the leg just goes straight down. Yeah. Like a log, and I don't really have that. Yeah.
But today we're MSBs. Modern Sexy Bastards. Join us next time in Mysteries.